I really feel that the biggest issue that's presented to us from this situation is the unknown, is really the fear of the unknown and the anxiety and stress that that causes. And everything that I say tonight, by the way, is going to apply to adults and really to children. You can adapt it to children as well. And children and adults, we, on any good day in our lives, we need and we thrive on consistency, structure, routine, familiar, comfortable, safe place. And Kal Vachomer, when we go through a crisis, when we're experiencing a challenging time, we need that even more. And in this situation, all of that has been taken away from us. So yes, we are humbled by the fact that we are in control of nothing and Hashem is in control of everything. But yet that lack of control and that lack of consistency and structure and the fact that whatever we know in terms of the consistency of our life and our comfortable, safe routine has been taken away, that alone can cause tremendous amounts of anxiety or stress. For ourselves and for our children, whatever routine, whatever consistency, whatever structure we can put back into our lives, please do so. You know, if that means waking up at the same time that you normally do, or that your kids normally do, or bedtime routine, do so. You know, I wake up very early in the morning. That's my time. That's my quiet time. So for the last several days since the coronavirus has started, and we've been, you know, in seclusion, I've been waking up an hour later. And this morning I actually decided, no, I'm going back to my normal, you know, early morning routine. And, you know, and that's it. And that, you know, that's what works best for me. I don't care if I have no place to go, but I need that early morning routine. And for the kids, you know, whether it's bedtime or whether it's, you know, the amount of snacks that they're eating during the day or whatever it is, obviously things are going to be, you know, a little bit, you know, hefker, but whatever consistency or structure for yourselves or for your children that you can compensate, you know, it's very important to do so. But to know that once we accept our loss of control and our inherent vulnerability, and actually using it as an opportunity to work on our emunah and bitachon, we become more capable of dealing with the anxiety of the unknown. So for the little bit of time that we have tonight, I've developed a framework that I really use with many different crisis situations, but tonight we're gonna plug in the details of the corona, you know, virus that we're facing tonight. It's a framework, it's a three-step framework that I'd like to go over with you. And the first step is educate, validate, and then is reassure, reframe, and then is express, empower. Okay, so the first is educate. So I'm not gonna go over the facts and the guidelines with you. Everyone has gotten emails and texts and WhatsApps with all the guidelines and everything that you have to do and all the rules. I'm not gonna do that with you. But just to make sure that you are educated with the facts, because as many facts as there are, that's how many rumors there are. So to make sure that you and your children have the facts and not the rumors, that is very, very important. And for your children, if they're old enough to, you know, keep those lines of communication wide open and to make sure that, you know, if there's anything else that you're hearing or reading or whatever, you know, come to us and talk, you know, let's talk about it or ask us about it or anything like that. You know, again, if your kids are old enough to make sure to have family discussions every once in a while to ask them for their understanding of what's going on. Okay, so that's educate. Next, we go to validate. And validate is the most important step in this process for you, for your spouses, for your friends, for your children. There is no right way and there is no wrong way to go through any crisis, trauma, or tragedy. Okay, there's no right way and there's no wrong way to feel, to think, to cope, to respond to any crisis, trauma, or tragedy. Certainly not one of this magnitude that has affected really every single part of our life and every single person, you know, in a very different ways. Viktor Frankl was a famous psychiatrist. He himself lived through Auschwitz, and he coined the phrase, an abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is totally normal. Okay, again, an abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is totally normal, which means anything goes. Okay, we're not gonna discuss now the red flags. Of course, you know, that means, you know, healthy, you know, appropriate coping mechanisms. But really, you know, I'm giving you permission to deal with it in any way you want. The Torah also, I like to, you know, use places of validation from the Torah. The Torah to me is not just a rule book. It's not just a history book, but it's really the first psychology book. And everything that we go through, all the feelings, all the emotions, all the situations are really found in the Torah. So the Torah itself validates for us that each one of us have permission to go through situations in our own way. And there are a few different places in the Torah that show that, that validate that. And I just want to, you know, give you one because I think it's very powerful for families, for communities, you know, for a yeshiva. So when B'nai Israel, when the Jewish people went through Yam Suf, right? So how did Hashem split the sea? Did he split it in two, like the, you know, Haggadahs we used to look at, you know, when we were children? So the answer is no, he actually split it into 12, right? Like picture like a swimming pool with 12 lanes. Why? Because the entire nation was going to get to the other side together. But each Shevet, each brother had to go through it in his own way, in whatever way worked best for him. Okay? And those lanes in the swimming pool, the Mefarshim explain, were see-through. Because each brother, each Shevet had to go through it in his own way, but they were checking up on each other and making sure the other one was okay. What a validating thought that within a family, or I know, you know, many of you are young couples or young families, so even between a husband and a wife, right? You're going through this like major situation here, right? You're each going to go through it in your own way. You have different personalities, different emotional makeups, different, you know, stuff that you've been through in your life, right? You're each going to go through it in your own way. As long as you love and support and respect each other's differences, you know, and check on each other and take care of each other, right? Like the Shvatim did in the see-through lanes, you're going to get to the other side together. And I think that's a very, very, very important nekuda. There's also, you know, the very, very important point about the fact that we need to give ourselves permission to be human. Okay, we need to give ourselves permission to be human. This is a hard situation. Yes, it's from Hashem and it's all good, and we're going to talk about that. But at the same time, it's hard. It's a nisayon, which we're going to talk about also. And we need to give ourselves permission to be human and to just, you know, it's okay not to be okay. Not all the time, of course, but, you know, to have our moments, right? Dr. Tal Ben-Shachar is a psychologist from Israel who's a very big trauma expert. And he speaks about the fact that it's crucial to experience the full range of emotions. Sad, angry, confused, scared, etc. And if you think about it, some of you, I hope, are shaking your heads. I can't see you. But, you know, in this situation, like, you know, for the best of us, we're going through our days, and there are moments when we're nervous, stressed, you know, sad, you know, pumped, you know, full, you know, we have emuna all the time. That doesn't take away from our emuna, just, you know, to go through these emotions. But he says it's important to allow ourselves to go through the full range of emotions, because if we, our emotions are like a pipeline, okay? They kind of flow through a pipeline. And if we block any of them, then we're also blocking the positive emotions, the gratitude and the joy and the happiness, right? So it's, you know, like the ability if we want to feel happiness, then, you know, we also have to know how to feel sad, you know? And if we are able to cry tears of sadness, then we'll be able to cry tears of happiness. You know, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is in 2 days. And my father, Rabbi Eliyahu Safran, he wrote a book called The Study of Contrast on Pesach. And the whole book just talks about the fact that that's what Pesach is about, right? We would not be able to experience and feel real geula had we not gone through galus. We wouldn't be able to feel light if we didn't understand what darkness is. So it's very important to give yourself permission to be human, to know that it's okay not to be okay, to know that, you know, if we're not feeling, you know, those moments of fear, of anxiety, of sadness, we're not going to also be able to feel the moments of gratitude, of knowing, you know, okay, b'chazde Hashem, like, we're okay, this is good, it's not so bad, you know, etc. I want to go through just a couple of those emotions specifically, okay? I heard from my colleague, Rabbi Dr. David Fox, a very interesting thought on fear. Well, before we get to his thought on fear, fear is probably one of the most normal reactions, responses in this situation. If you look in Az Yashir, right? We say Az Yashir every single morning. So if you look in the Pesukim of Az Yashir, it speaks about the fact how the Jews watched the Egyptians drown and they were so scared that they were shaking. Okay, and those were the ones that were standing like up front, like front row. And those that were standing in the back, they were also very nervous. Again, very validating. Hashem sometimes gives us scary situations. It's okay to be scared. So much so, we talk about it every single morning when we daven in Az Yashir. But the question is, what do we do with that fear? We can't just hold on to it and walk around scared all the time. That's certainly not what Hashem wants from us. We need to be able to balance it with emunah and with simcha. So again, I heard a beautiful thought from Rabbi Dr. Zevid Fox regarding Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak was known as Pachad Yitzchak, right? He was known partially for his fear, for his gvura, Pachad Yitzchak. And when it refers to his fear, in the Pesukim it mentions gvura once, gvura that's known as strength, as resilience, and Pachad, it's mentioned twice. So there is a commentator, the Rakanti, and the Rakanti was an Italian Rishon who was also a Makubal. And he says the following. He says that when Yitzchak was on the brink of the Akedah, okay, imagine Yitzchak Avinu on that Akedah. His father was like coming after him with a knife. I always get a little like panicky when I read this, you know, story in Shul, this Parsha. So Yitzchak was on the brink of the Akedah and he was Kona, the Mida of Pachad. There was a lot of tension and there was a lot of terror. There was real fear. He was really feeling real fear. But at the same time, he decided, Yitzchak, that he was going to face the fear. He was going to be present in the face of the fear. And therefore, his gvura, okay, his strength and his resilience became a healthy product of his fear, of his pachad. Okay, it does not have to be a contradiction. So fear is normal, but again, what am I going to do with it? It can become strength and resilience. That gvura can be a healthy acknowledgement of pachad, of fear. It's just a question of how I channel it and what do I do with it. Okay, just a couple other of emotions that I like to mention when I, you know, when I talk about reactions to trauma. And the story that I always use from the Torah is Sarah Iminu, when she dies after the Akedah. Sarah is somebody that, you know, always that lived her life Rashi says about her that she lived, you know, as if everything was for the good. Kulam shavim latova. So how is it that she died after the Akedah? So there are several different mefarshim that talk about why it is that she died. And one of them is that she died from shock. Or Chaim Shalevis says that she died from shock. What we're experiencing is very shocking. And then the Sfas Emes and Rabbi Akiva Eiger have this discussion and say that, you know, one of them says that she died because she was sad. She cried out in grief. And the other one says she died because she was happy. Her neshama was so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she knew that this was Ratzon Hashem. And the fact that there is two is the greatest lesson following a trauma, both on the side of emuna and in the side of trauma. Because the fact that there's both, that she was happy and sad, shows that our heart is a muscle and is able to expand and hold happy and sad at the same time. Okay? When I said before that we're experiencing all these different emotions, I can tell you that myself personally, last Friday night, when I was benching Licht, and just in the hour before Shabbos, all the shuls in Far Rockaway were shut down. I live in Woodmere. And, you know, this was at the very beginning, right? This was last week. And I went to Bench Licht and I was just crying and crying and crying. And I can tell you that they were for sure tears of sadness, thinking of the entire Far Rockaway, just the shuls, yeshivas, just quiet. They were tears of stress, of, you know, fear of the unknown, what is going to be, what is going on. And they were also tears of emuna and hope and excitement, just feeling like this is Chavli Mashiach and, you know, just emuna, like just knowing that whatever it is, Hashem was going to take care of us. And I really felt that Sara Imenu, heart is a muscle able to expand and hold, you know, more than one emotion at a time. And it's a very, 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 very important thing, you know, to keep in mind that it's okay to feel that panic, stress, fear, etc. But it's also, you know, the emuna and the gratitude and the simcha of just being, you know, home together, etc. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz also says that Sara Imenu died because she was alone. Avram, Yitzchak, Avinu, they were going up to that mountain. They were together. Even if they weren't talking about it, they were together in the experience. Sarah died, she was all alone. And, you know, yes, we're each alone in our individual homes, but, you know, being, you know, at least with your family, knowing that you're not alone. I want to move on to reassure, reframe. So reassure has a few parts. Reassure, on a very simple level, is just knowing that we're following the guidelines, we're doing what we have to do, we're washing our hands, we're staying home, social distancing, whatever the guidelines are, you know, we're following them. That's reassure, okay? And again, that's for you and for your children. Reassure also is in terms of, you know, this isolation is definitely difficult and is confusing. So reassurance can also come in just connecting to others in the way that you can. And, you know, you can say a lot of negative about technology, but we are blessed to be in an age where I can be talking to you now, you know, through the computer, and you can connect to other people, you know, whether it's through Zoom or FaceTime or, you know, whatever it is, but whether it's adults or children, you can connect to your loved ones. You can connect to people that you care about, just in the sense of reassurance, letting, you know, them know you're okay, you seeing their face to know that you're okay. You know, one of my little kids had like a 3-hour Zoom play date with her friends. You know, my parents both, you know, they want to see us, you know, through Zoom or FaceTime just to see me and my kids. I want to see my married kids. And, you know what I'm saying? Everyone just wants to see each other, just to be able to connect and have that reassurance. And that's really important. You know, spending quality time with people, connecting them with them in this way, definitely helps in terms of physical and emotional health. And reassurance is also emuna. You know, we've grown up living emuna. you know, we're raising our children on emunah, and now is the time to really be living that emunah. Tzadik be'emunah yichya. Now is the time to really try to be that tzadik and yichya, you know, with the emunah. Knowing that it's eno mevado, you know, believing that this is Chavli Mashiach, and, you know, looking and finding that chizuk for yourself, you know, wherever, you know, wherever that, that you need it. And reframe, is a little bit of an extreme example that I want to share with you, but I think it's a very real example. So again, last Friday night when I was, you know, crying by my candles, so I came to the Shabbos table and we were talking about it. And Baruch Hashem, I have kids of all ages. And, you know, so I was talking to them about the tears of sadness and the tears of hope and Chavli Mashiach. And I was explaining to them that Chavli Mashiach, you know, it's written in the Sfarim, you know, that in the time before Mashiach, it's going to be hard and difficult and confusing, you know, but it's going to be worth it, etc. So my son, who's turning 12 now, said, you know, but the Holocaust was also difficult and confusing. I said, you know, you're absolutely right. And the conversation kind of, you know, ended. And then on Sunday, when the news came that the schools were going to be closed until Pesach, so my kids, you know, first reaction was, you know, it's not fair. We're not going to see our friends. So, you know, I validated, and of course it's not, you know, you're right, it's not fair, etc. But then I said to them, remember we were talking about the Holocaust on Shabbos? I said, you know, it's going to be hard, you know, being just home alone and not going to school and not seeing your friends, etc. But, you know, I was thinking about it. I said to them, you mentioned the Holocaust, you know, we're not in a concentration camp. And we're all together and we have our clothes and we have food and we have our games and we have our bikes and I don't know, doesn't seem so bad. And like my kids got it, you know what I'm saying? Like that was a very important reframe that as annoying as this is, it's not so bad. Reframing is a very simple but very important and powerful psychological tool that there's always two ways of looking at everything. And it's not always easy to do because it is hard, but reframing always works. And then finally, express and empower. So express, every single person, every child, every adult needs a form of expression, needs a way of expressing themselves. One of my favorite, you know, lines in terms of children is that when a monster has a monster is very scary when it has no name and no shape. Once you give a monster, you know, a name and a shape, it becomes less scary. Clarity of emotions and labeling emotions allow you to better manage anxiety and stress. So talking about it, you know, getting it out is obviously the best form of expression. And I just heard today from David Pelkovitz, you know, we're coming up to Pesach now. And Pesach, Paro, Mitzrayim, Avdus represents Galus HaDibor, okay? Represents that, you know, the ability to speak being in exile. What's the antidote to that? Right? What do we do to fight that? We come to the Seder and we have Magid. We name the monster. We tell the story. We talk about it. So talking and, you know, expressing is definitely the best form of expression. But there's writing and there's art and there's music and there's, you know, drama and there's, you know, walking and meditating and learning and tefillah. There's lots and lots of forms of expression. Sherry Menzel, whose son Kobe died in the terrorist attack years ago, she wrote two excellent books. And she does some very, very interesting things with the Hebrew language. And she said that the shoresh for the word, the Hebrew word atzuv, which means sad, and I'm probably going to mess up the pronunciation, but atzvah's creation is the same. When we channel our sadness into you know, art, into making something, you know, it takes on a whole different meaning. And she also pointed out that the shoresh for the word bria, creation, and health, right? Briot is also the same. That when we create something, you know, also with our emotions, when we channel our passions, our emotions, our feelings into a creation, you know, we have greater health. And of course, you know, that's, you know, includes self-care, you know, for the adults. I know for myself, you know, on the days when it's, you know, when I can get out and just take a walk, my entire day is different. You know, that's, I just need to get out and breathe. you know, that's my self-care. And then finally, empower. It is so important to be able to find that nekuda tova, that little bit of spark of light in every single person throughout this entire process. I'm so proud of how you're handling it. I know this is stressful for you. I know it's hard for you to be inside, but look, you know, A, B, C, and D, you know, to, you know, we had our family meeting on day one, and I said to my kids, I'm not, you know, this is not going to work unless there's positivity. There needs to be positivity. And, you know, I try to point out, you know, to them the positivity. You know, I get very frustrated when I see on the chats, you know, there's a million chats, you know, but like on the school chats where certain things are being discussed, and it's just, well, how come the school's not doing this? And how come the school's not? I'm like, no, stop. There's no room for negativity in this situation. You know, everyone's hurting. Everyone's trying negativity out. So just to find something positive in each person, that's really, you know, shining bright in this darkness. And I just want to end by mentioning something that I alluded to. This is definitely a nisayon. There's no question about it. Hashem has given the world a tremendous nisayon, a tremendous challenge, right? Nisayon is a challenge in Hebrew. Nun samach yud vav nun. In the word nisayon, in every nisayon, is the little word nis. And a nis is not just a miracle, but a nis is a banner. It's something that lifts us up. So we first have to validate that it's an nisayon. Okay, we first have to validate that this is hard. It's difficult. It's a challenge. It's not meant to be easy. But part of the challenge is looking for and finding the nes and the nisayon, the miracles, the way Hashem is holding us, the way Hashem is getting us through. The fact that we know that Hashem loves us, that part of our relationship with Hashem is we know He loves us, we know He would never do anything to hurt us, but yes, we understand that we don't understand. So we're looking for the nace, the miracle, and we're also looking for the nace, the banner, the way that this is going to lift us up. Because oy vey lanu, oy oy oy, if we go through this coronavirus, and halavai, at the end, we're going to be, you know, in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash with Mashiach. But either which way, it will be such a shame if we come out the very same as when we went in. So I believe very strongly that part of the nisayon is looking for the nis, the miracle and the banner, the way in which it's going to lift us up. And part of looking for and finding the nis and the nisayon is knowing that nisim are sometimes gluyim, are sometimes revealed, and sometimes nistarim, are sometimes hidden. And being now in between Purim and Pesach, where the nisim were gluyim, were very revealed, and Purim, where they were much more hidden, you know, that's our challenge now. That's our nisayon now. So I give us a bracha that we have success in finding the nisim. They're there. They're always there. They're right in front of us. That we each find our individual nis, the way in which this is going to lift us up, and for individual and for family and for Klal Yisrael. And Be'ezras Hashem, as a nation, we will experience the ultimate nis, and we will be together in the Beis HaMikdash very soon.